This is a replay of the Thursday night, March 5th WGN show. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, providing it has no meaning whatsoever. That's right. We just try to have a good time. And then there's the English language. By the way, we'll get to Eduardo. We'll get to Marty. Everybody's lining up, and you can too at 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, but I ran across this, and man, I tell you, it bothered me. Now, it shouldn't, that's for sure. But according to the dictionary, irregardless is now a word. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, illiterate is the word in question here. And you might remember back in your school days learning that irregardless was not a word. In fact, regardless is the term. And they would tell you because it's a double negative, which made sense. After all, regardless means without regard. So irregardless would mean it's a double negative. Without regard, meaning with regard, right? So that said, there are a number of other words like that. We often think about irregardless, if we think about it at all, as being improper, but inflammable, same deal, it's flammable. Deboned, same deal, it's boned, you know, if you're removing bones from a chicken, for instance. And the interesting thing was the dictionaries that now have it in there, the Oxford English Dictionary, which apparently first had it appear many years ago, but more recently some others as well, say it dates back to the word to 1795 in a poem of the old woman and her tabby. Yeah, what could go wrong? There's a cat involved. All right, but that said, for years we were told that it was, you know, a sign of illiteracy, and now it's quantified and acceptable in the dictionary. So as I was getting over that, like I told you, it's the little things in life, isn't it? Yeah, and although I must say that when I was looking at other words like inflammable and deboned and all that, for whatever reason, that never raised my hackles to the same degree. But I've got another problem with English, other than there are times I can't speak it. But that is, how on earth did we lose our second person plural? Because I don't care what you see us grasping for this. Now, what I'm talking about, of course, if you speak other languages, you know very, very well that in the second person, there is a difference between you singular and y'all, plural, so to speak. You know, usted, ustedes, for instance, and virtually all the languages. And of course, we used to have that in English. You used to be the plural, and thou was the singular. But thou... dropped out of sight, and so here we have an issue. Now, it's been since Middle English that you and thou were questionable, if you will. And then there was thee for the accusative, right? And at some point, though, we decided we didn't need it. Well, if we don't need it, then why is it that virtually every part of America has other words for you plural, y'all, you-uns, yous, and yeah, on and on it goes. I think that this is missing. Clearly, we're grasping. We should have something. I'm not saying we need to bring back thou. Be okay with me. Sound a little weird, but okay. But we definitely need a second person plural. Otherwise, we're going to continue to say y'all or worse. All right. So as I said, things that have absolutely no meaning whatsoever, I specialize in them. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And that will take us to Eduardo in Tampa. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. So I went to the Strawberry Festival, and I didn't know that they were going to be playing, but they'll... Bill Haley and the Comets Jr.
Yeah, I was going to say Jr. If Bill Haley was playing, I want to see that. But but Jr., yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, and I was listening to some more songs this evening before your show.
Uh-huh.
And, like, was it Rockin' Beat? That's, I'm going to request that song.
Okay.
But the other ones, Razzle Dazzle, Saints, Rock and Roll, 13 Women, Bertha Boogie, Dim Lights. Rock. Okay. I mean, those were all good songs. So
yeah, 13 Women was a 13 Women was a flip side, and it's a very interesting song. There's a great comeback to that as well. So all right, you want to hear what?
Rockin' Beating Boogie. I don't know. Did I get that right?
Okay.
I don't know why I put that on the...
All right.
That's, but it's a rock and beating.
Yeah. Well, most people choose Crazy Man Crazy, but I guess rock and beating is fine. We can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was great. Got some nice strawberry bread. These cookies from Parkstone Farm Market are great.
Mm-hmm.
I even got a chance to spin the wheel. I tell the lady, I hope I get that yo-yo. And I got the yo-yo. Can you believe that, Raleigh?
Hey, all right. All right.
And it's a very nice-looking yo-yo, too.
Yeah.
It's one of those that clearer ones where you could see the little wires inside.
Is it a Dunkin'?
And then it lights up when you roll it down.
Yeah, all right. So, they're appearing next month in New Jersey in Pittman, and then after that, Virginia. So, yeah, they get around.
They're touring around, okay.
Yeah, and... I think Wayne Honeycutt does their booking and stuff like that, Wolfman Jack Entertainment. So, they're out there at a variety of venues, and that's the deal. And they're usually...
It says that they were doing it since 2011. Is that right?
Probably, as far as that goes. But, you know...
Okay.
Obviously, it's been a while since Bill Haley's been with us. And he was absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, the performer most unlikely as far as having a hit. Because, you mm-hmm. know, it was Bill Haley and the Saddlemen, and they were a country music band from Chester, Pennsylvania. And what happened was, as you probably know, they put out some records that didn't do very much, but they were out there. But one of them wound up being in the soundtrack for Blackboard Jungle. And that's how Rock Around the Clock in 1955 became a huge hit. Now, Bill Sr., he's been dead since like 1981. It's been a while because he's born in the 20s. And
right. So I was reading. So he had a problem with alcoholism,
well,
I believe.
Yeah. And that was not unusual as mm-hmm. far as that goes. And so he had health problems, too.
Okay.
He had some inner ear infection that led to the blindness in one eye. Obviously, there was a surgery that caused that. And that kiss curl in his face is to draw attention from his left eye to his right eye. But it became a gimmick and all that. But
I read about that. Right.
Yeah. And, so he, as I say, he dates back I think they became the Comets around 1952, and due to Haley's Comet, I think. And they were on WPWA. It was a little radio station in Chester, and they had a show.
Okay.
And, it was Crazy Man Crazy was the first big one back then. But like I say, 54, they recorded Rock Around the Clock, and nobody cared. It actually got up to about number 36 in Cashbox, but nothing. After that movie, I'll tell you what, that was huge. And they did some covers too. Like, remember one of their hits, Shake, Rattle, and Roll? That's actually a cover of Big Joe Turner. So you had a lot of that. But if it weren't for Blackboard Jungle, I'm not sure. And that, by the way, caused Rock Around the Clock to be number one for like 8 weeks in Billboard. And so I'm not sure that we would have ever really known who they were. As far as that goes, Danny Cedrone played guitar. He did the solo on the record, and sadly, he died young. But his daughter wound up being involved in the oldie scene in Philadelphia. She married a disc jockey, King Arthur, and she was around for years. But you know, after Rock Around the Clock, you know, started to really hit because of the movie. Next thing you know, they're like on TV, Milton Berle Show or whatever it was, Texaco Star Theater, I think was the name of it, the Ed Sullivan Show, and all that.
I saw that one. Yeah, Ed Sullivan one is the one I saw when I was listening. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. And that was a weird thing because it originated from a Shakespeare festival, a kind of a precursor, really, to the Renaissance fairs, I do think. But, you know, See You Later, Alligator. Again, that was not an original by any means. And
They play that on stage today. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, that is not the original song by any means. I should play the original, maybe. And then, of course, they appeared on Dick Clark's Beach Nut Show, the Saturday Night Show. And that was... That was big. He had a lot of kids, and I assume, you know, his oldest kid was John Haley, and he had written a biography a while ago. So I think Bill Haley Jr. was the second child, and it was the second marriage, which was a weird thing because he had a lot of, you know, he had Dorothy Crowe, that was short, and Barbara Kupchak, I think that would be Bill Jr.'s mother, and Martha Velasco, who was married to a long time. That one really took. He was married to her from 60 to 81 till he died. But it was with a Cuppy, the second wife, that came Bill Jr. And he started out in 2011 doing a tribute group, as you know, and he's still doing it. So interestingly, I would argue that Bill Haley is bigger in death than in life. You know, because at the time, you know, you think of the Little Richards and the Jerry Lee Lewises and all that. But since then, there's been a cachet, and I could see where he would have, you know, where the tabloid group, tribute group would be getting.
And this is, Raleigh, this is pre-Elvis, pre-Beatles, right?
Well, no. No, well, pre-Beatles, yes.
No, okay.
Absolutely, pre-Beatles. But okay. Pre-Elvis, no. Elvis had some stuff out on Sun by then. But you know, this was the mid-50s, very interesting time because you were seeing the amalgamation really of country and rhythm and blues, and rockabilly came into play and all that.
Okay.
So, you know, that's why when Steve Probst wrote, What's the First Rock and Roll Record, you know, he's got like 80 something choices. And, you know, I argue for G by the Crows for a lot of reasons, but you know, there are many people who will go on way before that, and it will never, never be settled. Bottom line is that certainly he's a part of history, but as I say now, and then, you know, people have asked, well, do you think if he wasn't, and not only did he have drinking problems, he had mental health problems. And part of it, I think there was a brain tumor involved, I don't know, but the bottom line was this was serious mental health problems, including some that were chemical. And so, you know, obviously that would have added to maybe why he didn't rise greater than he did. You know, it was weird because, man, before he died, actually years before he died, he was... You know, some said he was deranged. That's mean, but he would call people on the phone in the middle of the night and just ramble on forever. And he didn't die in Chester. He was living in Harlingen, Texas at the time, and he was 55 years old. So that was the deal.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, Rock Around the Clock was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame and all that kind of stuff, and I can understand that, but again, I guess none of us will ever know, but if it weren't for Blackboard Jungle, I'd say we were saying who, but here we are.
Oh, by the way, that's Mom's favorite, Rock Around the Clock.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it was you know, it became huge, regardless of the fact that it didn't have much traction in 54. In 55, thanks to Blackboard Jungle, it was huge.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call it the first rock and roll record, though there are those who would say it is.
Okay.
So, you know, Well, we can argue that all night long. So I'm glad you got to see it. I think that's the kind of
venue. I got a chance. Yeah, I like learning new stuff, and I like learning the history of it too. So that thank you, Raleigh, for sharing that with me. Because you know, 71, you know, anything before 71, you know, I was still coming down.
Yeah, well, of course. You know, he was on Decca and then later on Brunswick. So he had some good labels and some notable stuff. But, you know, he'll forever be remembered. But as I say, for Blackboard Jungle, as far as I'm concerned, not for Skinny Minnie or Razzle Dazzle. All right.
But 10:30 in the morning, Raleigh. Yeah, they started early, 10:30 in the morning. Can you believe that?
I do believe it.
I was thinking like something.
I do believe it.
Okay.
And the reason I say I do believe it is depending upon the venue. Like the first time I drove through Branson, Missouri, I was, you know, once they started to get traction, I mean, I've been there many times before, but when they started to get traction for the, you know, for the country acts and all that, and then everybody had their dinner theater later, but I drove through and I had to laugh because they had two main shows, and the two main shows were the dinner show, of course. The other one was the 8 a.m. show. And at first I thought,
8 a.m. Wow.
Yes. Well, why? What's Branson? Where is Branson? All these bass fishermen. It's, you know, in the Ozarks there. It's on the water. So they'd see the show before they went fishing, and 8 was actually kind of late. But yeah, I remember driving through town, and they had a billboard up for Peter Lemongello, and I've been laughing ever since. He was a nobody who bought time on cable stations in Long Island and became a hit because of that. But so there was Peter Lemongello. So I wondered where did Peter Lemongello wind up? Well, that's where, Branson, Missouri.
Okay.
So, the 8 a.m. shows. I'm sure they still have them.
Okay, right. So 10:30 is not too
no.
Too early. Okay.
No.
Yeah. No.
Absolutely not. All right, good deal. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, Raleigh, thank you very much for Mom's going to be okay. She I just finished on this. She doc calls, so she's got a UTI, but they sent some kind of medication, and I got it from Walgreens, which is a block away. So
good. You know,
that's being taken care of.
Good, because that's especially as you get older, UTIs can wind up being a real problem if you don't treat them quickly. So good. Hopefully she'll be fine in no time. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, Raleigh.
Right, so
I'll enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
888-876-5593. Marty is in Whiting. Robert is in LaGrange. Where are you? 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. When I asked her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator, after 1 crocodile. See you later, alligator, after 1 crocodile. Thought of what you told me, and then it made me lose my head. When I thought of what you told me, and then it made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, I reminded what she said. See you later, alligator, after 1 crocodile. See you later, alligator, after 1 crocodile. You clap my style.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It was on Chess, you know. Absolutely. That's the original Later Alligator, which was the title originally, 1955 on Chess. And Bobby Charles, who was Robert Charles Guidry, was Cajun through and through, South Louisiana. And what had happened, if you're wondering, how did it get on Chess? Well, a local music store owner heard the song, called Leonard Chess, played it to him over the phone, and the guy said, "I'll sign it." Bobby Charles was 17 at the time. And by the way, the local record store owner was Stan Lewis. Yeah, Shreveport. Stan the man in Shreveport, Louisiana. And yeah, talk about, and that was, of course, Paula and Ron and other wonderful labels. So Leonard Chess didn't hesitate. Signed him immediately. But this was funny because they didn't send a picture of him. And the Chess brothers were convinced he was African-American. And that's why they quickly wanted him on Chess. They were stunned when they met him. Here's this 17-year-old little white guy. And despite that, it actually got some R&B play. They were worried, saying, "Oh, my God, well, if anybody finds out, this is going to be a real problem." And he was one of the first white artists on the label. And so it was actually the Chess brothers who changed his name from Robert Guidry to Robert Charles, which made a lot of sense. But he was not a one-hit wonder. Now, he was, as far as, you know, records, and, you know, it's arguable that later Alligator wasn't even a hit. But he wrote it. He wrote "Walking to New Orleans" for Fats Domino, and "It Keeps Raining" for Fats Domino. "I Don't Know Why, But I Do," Clarence Frogman Henry, that was him, and more. He did a number of things, and throughout his lifetime, as far as that goes. For a while, he was living in Woodstock, New York. I don't know what that was about, but Bob Dylan had recorded some of his stuff, and I understand there was a documentary out about him a couple of years ago, which I did not see. But he was born in Abbeville in Cajun country, died there as well, born in 1938, died in 2010, so 71 years old. So, but that's the original Later Alligator, which of course became See You Later Alligator. And now, with that in mind, Marty is in Whiting. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up, Marty?
Good evening, Raleigh.
What's happening?
I got a question real quick. Do you remember about a week or so ago, a couple weeks, I asked you for that number about the that radio, and I called it, and it was something about a Santa Fe pension.
No.
So I want to read this number back to you.
Yeah.
Maybe I wrote down the number too fast.
Okay.
1-800-522-8633.
No, 8863.
Okay, I wrote it. I was writing too fast.
8863. It spells tune on your telephone, T-U-N-E. 8863.
Oh. Okay, 522-8863.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, that answers that. And because I got hooked on the show so much, you and the show are irreplaceable.
Ah! I don't know if anybody's sarcasm. Irreplaceable. Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Yes, we're irreplaceable. Yes, I love it.
Well, I about 5 years ago, I told my friend that, and she looked at me like I was an alien. I said, "That's not a word."
Of course it's not a word. No, and
irreplaceable.
Most people assume...
Irregardless, I'm sorry. Yeah,
right.
I said irregardless.
Yeah, irregardless. Most people assume that they are words because they've been used so much. And I guess now the dictionaries say, yep, they're used, so they count. I think their defense is, we don't make up the language, we just report it. But I can suddenly I can see why, you know, French and France and all that, they're manic about not adding any words to the French language. And it's kind of interesting because since the digital age, and computerization and all that, there's a lot of words that language doesn't have. But on the other hand, you know, some of the stuff that we're accepting, I want to know when ain't is going to become acceptable, because it will. Just give it time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we do need that second person plural. I'd like to lobby for that.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind myself then.
Yeah.
Even though I'm no Rhodes Scholar, I'm only a high school graduate, but I like the English language, but yeah, sometimes some of the things we hear that comes out of people's mouths. Well, me particularly. So.
Well, all of us, I think. But in fact, I had a list of how many people obliterate, the meaning of phrases when they'll say things like, could've instead of could have, or nip it in the butt instead of nip it in the bud. On and on, there's a number of those. I love, I'm going to do a 360. Well, then you're going to do nothing. It's a 180. But, Yeah. Or the statue of limitations. I want to know where that is. Where is that statue?
How about the 16? Is it the 16 chapel?
But it's 16, no. The 16, some people are calling it the 16. I love that.
Yeah, that cracks me up too.
Oh, that's great. They think it's an address. That's classic.
Then I want to bring this up to you. You are not going to believe this when I tell you this, but I live in Whiting. It's right near the Illinois-Indiana border.
Yes.
Gary, Indiana, is only 20 miles away.
Yes.
Probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, on 1370 AM WTLH, they play other stuff too, but mostly blues channel.
Uh-huh.
Well, the man that runs the show, he goes by Dr. J, the Prime Minister of the Blues.
Okay.
So I'm listening to him yesterday afternoon. He goes, hey, I want to give a shout-out to my friend who passed away, Cicero Blake.
No!
I guess he had moved to California.
Yes.
Well, Dr. J, he's from, he lives in Gary now, but he's been around Chicago. He's only 52 years old, 10 years younger than me. So he plays a song by Cicero Blake.
Yeah.
So last night, I had no plans on calling in while my battery was getting low. I'm sitting here listening. I think his name was Stan.
Yeah, we're talking about. I mentioned that Cicero Blake was on one of the labels we were talking about. But my all-time favorite Cicero Blake record is "Sad Feeling." It's just a wonderful song.
"Bad Feeling."
"Sad Feeling," and I'll play it. I'll absolutely play it.
Okay, so I'm listening to you and the caller, and I'm reading the sports section also. And it was later on in your show, and I hear Cicero Blake. It's like, wow. And the guy used the caller, he's like, yeah, he's from Chicago. So I wasn't positive because I had forgotten the last, I thought I'd forgotten the last name. So I called up the show today there at the Prime Minister of the Blues.
Uh-huh.
He goes, yeah, I said, what's the odds? I've never heard that name before. In like an 8-hour period, I heard Cicero Blake twice.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm really sad that I had no idea that he was no longer with us. That's a real shame all the way around. Yeah, on "Sad Feeling," Barrett Strong wrote it. But there are so many things. In fact, it's weird. I'll also play another song, part of it, called "How Many Times" by Sounds of Dawn, because it's got the exact same backing track. But there were just, Cicero Blake was great, very underrated.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. That's what I called in today. I said, Dr. J, you said Cicero Blake, correct? He goes, yeah. Why? And I told him about listening to your show last night. But he said almost verbatim what you just said. Very underrated.
Yes.
He goes, maybe not a lot of people knew of him. He goes, but I did, and I liked him. So, well, I guess they were friends. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just looked him up. My God. And
Does it say when he passed away?
Yeah, well, it says March 4th, but let me see if that... Yeah, that's what it says. That'd be yesterday.
Oh, wow, yeah, today's the 5th.
So, now, but his yesterday his passing was announced by his son, Daryl, but I don't know that that means that it was actually yesterday, but obviously very recently. And he was from Jackson, Mississippi, and like a lot of people, moved to Chicago during the early 50s. And originally he was in a group, the Golden Tones, which, and now the Golden Tones are important because the Golden Tones became the Cool Gents. Yeah, now you're talking. And that spawned the career of D. Clark, as far as that goes. And he was probably doing solo stuff in the early 60s. And on "Sad Feeling," which you're going to hear, he's backed by the Dells, which is great. "If I Had My Way," "Don't Do It to Me," you know, a lot of stuff. And it was all local stuff. And then he was signed to Brunswick in 1970. And they got me, "You Got Me Walking," which is a good record, but it ain't no "Sad Feeling." And then he was doing some Southern rock. I don't want to even talk about that period. But
Southern rock, wow.
Yeah, like Dip My Dipper. Oh, you don't want to hear it.
That's what Dr. J played yesterday to end his show.
Oh, God, did he? Oh, then you've heard it. All right.
Then get this. He played it again today.
No.
I called him the last half an hour. He goes, my favorite song, I played it yesterday. I said, I said, I know. I said, usually I record songs from the radio. Well, he said, okay, I'll talk to you later, Marty. So we hang up, and he played that song again.
Oh, man, yeah. That I think that was on an album, Too Hip to Be Happy. But anyway, so, but that's really sad. And, yeah, very underrated. He was on Renee for a while, which was a little label that had some very interesting stuff. So, yeah, I'll absolutely
play.
Does
it say his age?
What? Oh, I don't know how old
he is. Does it say his age?
No, I don't think it does.
It's kind of curious now.
I can probably find that out.
I can ask Dr. J tomorrow.
Well, we can probably find out really quickly. Because it. Oh, look at this. He was 88. And one of the obits claimed he was 90. But he was born in 1938, February 20th, 1938. So he would have just turned 88. But one of the obits said he was 90. And, you know, either way, you know. And so a life well lived. He didn't die young, that's for sure. But
right.
I'm still sad.
And speaking of Gary, Dr. Now, I'm not no Beatles historian, but, yeah. You know, at 63, you know, I know a couple things about the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. J said the Beatles got signed in Gary.
Well, you're talking about...
Have you heard that?
Yeah, well, no, it's because on VJ. But you got to understand how this happened. And yes, VJ was a Gary label, but by that time they were actually in Chicago on South Michigan. But regardless, here is the deal. VJ had, in fact, the guy who was running VJ was convinced to sign the Four Seasons. That was the first white act and did, you know, started to do very well. And so they decided they were going to sign an act. Oh, God. Frank Ifield from the UK, actually, I think from Australia, but from the UK as far as EMI. Now, along with the Frank Ifield contract came the Beatles. They never heard of the Beatles. But what happened was, after a few records on VJ, the Frank Ifield contract expired. But EMI forgot to void the Beatles. And so, of course, here come the Beatles. And by the way, VJ put out a couple things that did nothing. One on Tolly, even their subsidiary and all that. But here come the Beatles, and they remember, we have that contract. And so when Capitol was releasing Meet the Beatles in the States, VJ released Introducing the VJs, because the Beatles, they had some masters. They had Sar Standing there and a few others. And so they knew that they were going to be sued. And of course they were. But they also knew that the cost of holding off the lawsuits was going to be less than the cost they made from those records. And that record, actually, was just one, Introducing the Beatles. And that was a huge success for them, much to the consternation of EMI. Now, as far as that goes, that's not the only label that had the Beatles before anybody heard them. Remember, She Loves You was on Swan, which was a Philadelphia label that Dick Clark had his paws in. And and there were a couple things on MGM. You don't want to hear them. So they had been trying for a while to get a label deal in America. And the reason it was on Capitol, of course, was sister label to EMI. So, but everybody else turned them down. And of course, when the Beatles hit overnight, suddenly everybody had to have a British group. And that's what caused all of those acts to get record deals literally in a nanosecond. And that's how that happened. So sure, but yes, VJ had them, and Introducing the Beatles was a VJ product, and they were sued, but in the end, they did all right with that.
Yeah, I didn't doubt Dr. J, but I thought, surprised I'd never heard that before.
Well, so technically, he's right from the standpoint of VJ started in Gary, although it was in Chicago when it happened. He's right that they signed him, but they didn't know they signed him. They were signing Frank Ifield. So that's how that happened.
Okay.
Now you know.
I have to request.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What do you want to request?
I want to, last week you was talking to somebody about, I don't know if it's just one question, but it had to do with MASH. I never knew this until about 3 or 4 years ago. My brother told me this, but the theme song to MASH, it opens up the show.
Yeah, Suicide is
Painless.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's words to it, which I've never known that before.
Of course there are words to it. It was played on the radio ad nauseum.
Robert Altman?
But as far as, I don't know if you wrote the words or not, but Suicide is Painless absolutely came out with words. I can play that for you if you want.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that, and maybe some other time. Have you ever seen the movie Coming Home?
No, I've seen 5 movies in my life.
Oh, that's right. You're not a movie fan.
I don't like movies.
Well, you've heard of Timothy Buckley.
Yeah, of course. Tim Buckley, sure.
It's Once I Was, and the movie ends with Bruce Dern going into the ocean. If you've got that, I wouldn't mind hearing that. And I know not tonight, but maybe
And
maybe
what,
Monday.
What's the name of it?
Once I Was by Timothy Buckley.
Once I Was. Okay, I'll look. Absolutely. I'm writing that down, and I will definitely get you Your Suicide Is Painless. Yes, which there's a number of words to that. That's all right. Brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. All right, talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Yes, indeed. All right, so before we get to Robert and LaGrange, I want to talk about the C-Crane Company. Yeah, and the CC Pocket, which is a wonderful radio, virtually indestructible because I'm hard on my toys and I've got it in my purse and I just like it. It's one of the most popular pocket radios on the market today. It makes a great gift too, and it's not terribly expensive. But the deal is, like everything that Bob Crane has developed, it has killer reception, AM and FM. In fact, I don't think there's a radio in the same size range that can touch it on any level, not only for reception, but also for tonality as well. Yeah, the little speaker is amazingly good, and they include their earbuds, which are infamous because they sound so good. And it's crisp, clear audio for a small size coming right out of the radio, though. Very simple to operate, 5 memory buttons. That's right, it's digital readout. You can instantly tune to your favorite station. It's got a lighted dial. It's got no weather band, so it's got the weather alert. It's light. It's durable, and I mean durable, right? Easy to hold with rubber sides and a pocket clip. And you can find out more at ccradio.com. And but right now, by the way, free standard shipping. Free standard shipping on the CC Pocket Radio. That is a deal. So go to 800-522-8863 if you want to call them. If you can't go online, customer service is just tremendous. That's 800-522-TUNE. 522-TUNE. Easy to remember. But if you can go online, you're going to like the CC Pocket. But not only that, great information as well as great products. So if you're a radio fan, you should be bookmarking it. The CC Pocket Radio from ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
It's like talking to a wall. You get no response at all. A sad, sad feeling. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love that song. 1964 on Renee. Leo Austell was the operative deal in that. He was the producer of that, and he had the label and all. So that's how it wound up. The exact same backing track showed up on Sounds of Dawn how many times?
Everlasting love. How many times
it was about 3 years later that that came out, and that was another Leo Austell label, like Renee. That was Twin Stacks, and he had some partners in that, actually. He also had Brainstorm and some other things, but nonetheless, that was Sounds of Dawn with the exact same backing track. No Cicero Blake, but it's still a wonderful backing track as far as that goes. So, well, we're about to talk about the news. Well, I'm not, but people who know what they're doing will. And then Robert and LaGrange, back to language. Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina, who hung on forever yesterday, so we'll get to him quickly. And Floyd in Iowa has got a request. There's room for you two coming up right here on WGN Radio.
Once I was a soldier, and I fought on foreign sands for you. Once I was a hunter, and I brought home fresh meat for you. Once I was a lover, searched behind your eyes for you. And soon there'll be another to tell you I was just a lie. And sometimes I wonder just for
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Proving you say it, I play it. There is Tim Buckley. Indeed, the 1967 album was Hello and Goodbye and Hello, actually. All right, maybe it should have been Hello and Goodbye, but Once I was one of the cuts, and that's what Marty wanted, so that's what Marty gets. All right, so Robert is in LaGrange. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thanks, Raleigh. I've got another word that some people use. When some man or lady has a rough day, they'll say, nothing ever goes right for me. You know?
Yeah.
Instead of nothing. You
right,
know,
yeah. Nothing ever goes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Could I get just one quick request in, too?
Sure,
just a second. A Million to One, Jimmy Charles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll be happy to play that. After Tim Buckley, I'll be happy to play anything else. All right.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, boy. So I aim to please. And must say, it was a shock to me, never having heard it before, and never will play it again, but hopefully Marty liked it. All right. So now, as I mentioned last night, poor Chris, hang on forever, and we didn't get to him. So I said, call early, and we will. So the floor is yours, Chris. Chris. Oh, no. Are you there, Chris? No, man. Last time Chris fell asleep. Chris, if you wake up, you know, well, why am I saying that? If he's asleep, he's not listening. But in case he wants to call back, he, of course, would be more than welcome to do that. So instead, we'll talk to Floyd in Iowa. Hello, Floyd.
Raleigh, Chris fell asleep again. He'll wake up later.
I hope
hey,
so.
You know, that John Barry did several of those James Bond movie themes and scores, and he's died now. But when he was around, there was one that he scored on Her Majesty's Secret Service. The producers told him to go overboard on it because that the star, it wasn't Sean Connery, it was that new guy, George Lazenby.
Okay.
They didn't think he could carry the part. They told him to just go overboard. Do anything you can.
Okay.
And then John Barry, I think he delivered on it. That's my request. Can you play On Her Majesty's Secret Service? That came out in 1969.
Yep.
John Barry.
Yep.
as the I call it arranger, composer. Yeah.
And by the way, sure. Phil Ramone produced that album.
My goodness gracious!
Yeah. So what is it?
Is he still around?
Yes. So what is it you want to? Actually, I'm lying. He's been dead about 10 years. But yeah.
Well, your lies sound so convincing. It's good to hear.
No, Phil Ramone. Yeah, he left us about a decade ago, and he was a recording engineer here in America, but then later a producer and all that. But he was born in South Africa. His name was Phil Rabinowitz. So anyway, Phil
a lot
Ramone.
Of good things come out of South Africa.
Yes,
a lot of good things.
Yes,
you know the. I think the wife of, wasn't it one of Biden's sons married a South African?
I'm not
and
surprised.
Didn't John Kennedy Jr., didn't he marry a South
no,
African?
I don't think she was. I think she was born and bred New Yorker.
Well, yeah. A lot of good things come out of there, but a lot of good things come from America, too.
Yeah.
And that tune I wanted to hear was On Her Majesty's Secret Service. It's the opening theme from that.
Okay.
Thank you, Raleigh.
I'm writing it down so I won't forget. Secret Servant. I probably have that on this computer, but if I don't, I'll get it. We'll see. I'll be happy to play it.
Well, thanks, Raleigh.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, so that was actually a pretty big album, 1969. And, yeah, what can I say? Phil Ramone, he was born in South Africa, but I think he grew up in Brooklyn. Actually, so not 100% sure about that. But he opened his own recording studio before he was 20, and he was involved with a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. Everybody from Burt Bacharach to he's the guy who recorded Marilyn Monroe's version of "Happy Birthday, Mr. President." Yeah, speaking of JFK. But it was everybody: Natalie Cole or Liza Minnelli. It didn't matter. Phoebe Snow. The amount of people that Phil Ramone was involved with is just stunning. Absolutely stunning. All right, so there you have that. 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. While I was looking at the English language, Engineer Bob gave me more wonderful links. How regional accents impact pronunciation. And I don't know that we'll ever get the word, but do you wonder? Accents change, and they change over time, not only in terms of location, but you hear some of the earlier recordings, early part of the 20th century of New Yorkers, and they sound so absolutely upscale. And, you can hear it in film clips or on records or whatever. And then today, absolutely the opposite. And you say, how did that happen? Well, I don't have any idea. But apparently in America, originally it was the influence of British English. And and there are arguments about that. Do you pronounce the T in often? It's often. I always said it was often. Well, apparently it was often in Middle English until Queen Elizabeth didn't like it and didn't pronounce it. So often became often, first by the upper class and then by the rest of the population. And that's how the American colonies got often. So the queen didn't like it. I have no idea what she had against the T. But apparently it was something. So let's see. We've got Jerry in Kankakee. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Jerry.
Oh, actually, first-time caller.
Oh, really? Well, that's thrilling. John didn't say that. If I knew that, I'd have gone to you immediately. But you got on pretty quickly, so I'm glad you called.
Yes, I did.
What are we talking about?
In fact, I just discovered the show about 3 weeks ago, so I'm new to the show, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
As a hobby, I collect and repair transistor radios from the early 60s, late 50s.
Oh, neat.
And the other day, I'm tuning in after I put this radio back together, going down to 720, and I hit a station at 750 on the AM dial, and they're playing music. And I thought it was bumper music for some kind of, talk show, but I never heard a talk show come, and they just kept playing music. No DJs, no commercials. Nothing. And then I went to play the same station for my wife in the evening, and it's gone.
Uh-huh.
And so I look it up, and I find out this is a sunsetter or a sunset show. well, or station?
It's a daytimer. And probably if you're listening where you are, it could be, you know, Portage like NDZ, or maybe there's a little Brookport station. They're both daytimers. So it could be, you know, post-sunset authority for either of those. But did you find out what it was?
Well, I mean, I think it was WNDZ or C.
Oh, NDZ.
And
it,
you're right.
NDZ, D like a disco, NDZ in Portage. And
right. So
yeah.
My question really is, now I remember I got into radio back probably around 63,
uh-huh.
You know, with WCFL, WLS,
mm-hmm.
Listening to the Blackhawks, listening to Lloyd Pettit,
sure.
And Harvey Wittenberg, and I don't remember ever having stations that went off the air at sunset.
Oh, they all, you know, rundown at sundown is very common, and you had a lot of them in Chicago, too. Here was the deal. When they realigned the entire band, and that was the NARBA agreement in 1941, AM stations were divided into four classes, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Class 1 stations, there were 1As and 1Bs, and those were the clear channels, like a WGN or WLS or WCFL. You know, Chicago, hey, that's pretty good. You got three clears right there, and there's more. But the bottom line is that the daytimers, the Class 2, were the daytimer stations, which were totally beholden to signing off at sunset. And we used to call them rundown at sundown. And daytimers were very common. And very often that's where you heard the good stuff, because there'd be a dollar a holler radio where people would buy the time. And, you know, you'd hear great soul stuff and all that kind of thing. And then in about 67, they came up with the idea of pre-sunrise and post-sunset authority, which we were actually talking about last night. And man, some of the Clear Channel management, you thought they were going to hemorrhage, that, oh my God, we'll have all this interference. Well, it didn't turn out to be as bad as they thought. So in 81, they expanded it, and any of the daytimers could go ahead and have pre-sunrise for an hour or post-sunset at 500 watts. Now, if they wanted more than that, it would have to be licensed differently and all that. But that was the deal. So the rundowns at sundowns were very, very common.
I just don't remember seeing them or hearing them.
Well, why would you have listened to them? You know, that kind of thing.
You're right.
You know, I mean, you're sitting there listening to WLS, which, of course, by 63, they're all top 40. CFL,
right.
You know, my favorite morning man was on CFL before their top 40 phase, Dan Sorkin. I thought the guy was just a genius. But, of course, you know, they had a good run with top 40 as well. And so, sure, you know, you might have listened to WJJD. And you might be a little...
Yes, there you go.
Well, if you remember, WJJD signed off at 10 o'clock at night. And the reason...
And probably then,
well,
it was past my bedtime anyway, so I still
right.
didn't hear him sign off.
Well, you're right. And the reason they did is they were protecting KSL and Salt Lake City on the same frequency. And because KSL was so far west of that, JJD was allowed some, you know, post-sunset Chicago time coverage. So in the summer it'd be 10 o'clock, in the winter it might be more like 8. But that was the deal. They were absolutely a daytimer for years. And then through the 80s, they started with the breakup of the clears, not giving them quite as much protection. And some of those daytimers got full-time authority. But no, there were a ton of daytime radio stations.
Oh, well, you cleared that up for me, first
yeah.
of all. Second, in about an hour, I turn 70, so that's another
big milestone. Oh, happy birthday.
Here.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
That's absolutely wonderful.
And I had another thought.
Yeah.
And again, since I've only heard this show for like the last 3 weeks, you may have done something like this anyway, but last night especially, there were a lot of people talking about the nostalgic thoughts and memories they had of restaurants, mostly that were in Chicago once upon a time.
Yep.
I'd like to know about the places that people remember from their childhoods that are still around that are really cool, that would make me think, oh, I want to go to, you know, whatever the town is, or to Cicero or whatever, because this place has been there since they were kids.
Yeah, and we have touched on that before, but it's a nice idea. And I'll be happy to next week open a show with that and see if we get any takers.
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd like that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you born and bred Chicago area?
I am Evergreen Park.
Okay. All right.
Southwest side. And so my contribution would be Wolf's Bakery, since I was a little kid. That's got to be 1960 at least.
Yeah.
Or older. Or Rosangela's Pizza, which is still there after, you know, 60, 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
Places like that, you know, I'd like to hear about other ones. Anyway.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I guess you never listened to WAIT because that was 850. That was a classic daytimer.
Yeah.
And well, that protected KOA in Denver. So that was the deal. Daytime hours only.
Well, that's cool.
So, yeah, there's a ton of them. And some night we'll go over each and every one of them because they gave us some great shows because of the fact that they brokered a lot of it. So, yeah, WOPA.
Well, I appreciate that.
You betcha. Well, I'm delighted that you called. Thank you. Do it again.
Thanks. Okay.
Appreciate it. All right. So fun stuff. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Mike in Elmwood Park. All right, Mike, what's up?
Ah, Raleigh, you know, my mom used to listen to WJJD all day long, and it would go off, I believe the AM side would go off at 8.
Mm-hmm.
No.
In winter.
Six, and then come,
in winter.
And then the FM.
It varied in winter. In summer, it was on till 10.
Oh, okay.
Because, again, it had to do with sunset Salt Lake City time.
I know she would go to the FM side.
Right.
And it would be on for maybe an hour, hour or two, maybe.
Right, right.
You know.
Now, was she listening to it when it was Top 40 or when it was country?
When it was country.
Okay, that's later. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I remember her, we had this old Admiral, big console, you know, and he had radio, and she would listen to that and then turn it over to the FM side and listen to JJD on there. Matter of fact, the announcer, I think at that time was Stan Scott. He would tell, you know, whoever was listening, you know, we leave the air at whatever time, we'd be
right
back in the morning.
Right.
You know. You mentioned WAIT.
Yeah.
That was well known.
Sure was, and that was a daytimer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to listen to Howard Milton. My in another station, my mom would listen to WIND in the morning.
Uh-huh.
She'd listen to Howard Miller.
Sure.
I think from 6 in the morning till 10, and then I'd go to school, and she'd still be, you know, listening to
right
it. But there were a lot of good radio stations in Chicago.
Oh, absolutely. And there were a lot of small stuff like WBEE. There were a ton of radio stations.
Yeah. How about WNUS? That was news station.
Yeah,
in Chicago,
it's moment of all news. Absolutely. And that had an interesting history all the way around. And so
yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 64. It was 1390, and that was Gordon McLendon. So
matter of fact, that was on, and then of course when BBM went to all news in 68.
Right. Right. Well, that was pretty much the deal with all of the CBS AM powerhouses. They all went all news.
And I noticed too that they didn't. BBM never played Top 40. It played mostly.
Adult contemporary MOR, and
yes,
and that was what WCFL was before it went Top 40. You know what I mentioned, Dan Sorkin. That was definitely an MOR station.
You talking about Dan Sorkin, the guy that Chicken Man?
No, that's Dick Orkin. And
Dick Orkin.
I love Dick Orkin. He was a great guy. He came from Cleveland, and he did that and at CFL. No, Dan Sorkin predated him by several years. And in fact, Dan Sorkin single-handedly got Nielsen out of the radio ratings business at the time. he had a campaign save Rose Bimler. Rose Bimler didn't exist, of course. She was drowning in obscurity in Cicero. But
did you remember
what?
Did you remember LS as being like the farm?
Well, sure. Of course. And, you know, of course, originally Sears, world's largest store and all that. But when ABC became a believer in Top 40, one by one, all the stations, you know, most of the stations went Top 40. The station on the West Coast couldn't, but for reasons because there were two networks. There was ABC and ABC West. ABC West had been a different network, and they had to carry so much stuff. You know, they were credited with being the first all-talk stations in 1960. I had to laugh because, of course, if you got rid of the network commitment, you only had 10 minutes of programming. Why not be all-talk? What else is there to do?
Right.
But when LS debuted, much like WABC, for a while they had to carry the Don McNeil Breakfast Hour and all that. It wasn't
right.
A, it wasn't
remember that because my mom used to listen to that too.
Exactly. And like WABC for a couple of years was saddled overnights with a show called Joe Rosenfeld's Happiness Exchange. It was like a desperate and dateless type thing on the air. So, you know, they didn't all just overnight do this, but, you know, KQV in Pittsburgh had done so well for them. And, you know, so anyway, yes, I remember WLS through all of its incarnations.
My mom, when I was a kid, my mom used to listen to Bob Hale in the evening.
Of course.
Bob Hale. I remember Biondi being on there, but very, because I'll be 73 in October, but I remember listening and one day I was out and a truck driver, we had a local, we had a electronics place at the end of the block. And I remember the Dupree's being played on WLS.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
Oh, sure. Know. And yeah.
That brings back a lot of memories.
Bob Hale had done that late night show, East of Midnight, for a while. And then he went to TV and all that. But sure, a ton of great, great memories. And a lot of the radio guys wound up with shows on the UHF station, Channel 26. So you saw some of that stuff, too. So, of course, yeah, a lot of great local radio.
I'm glad they get somebody like you on the radio, though.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
it. No, really. I mean, there's not too many. You don't see too many radio shows like yours where you could talk about nostalgia. A lot of them don't even know it.
Well, that's true. But the other thing is today, most of the shows are political in nature, and that's a whole that's a whole different thing. And so not in any way casting aspersions at that. But the bottom line to it, of course, is that I like to give people a break at night. Let's talk about something, anything other than that.
No, I enjoy your show. I really do.
Great to have you. And so call me again.
I will do that.
Okay, Rally. Thanks.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
All right, so I think I just blew the news or something. Well, we'll pick it up right after whatever on WGN Radio.
Rock, 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 everybody. Take a beat, you take a boogie, you make it sweet. You get the rock-a-beat and boogie beat. Well, the rock-a-beat and boogie, B-O-G-I-E. Well, the rock-a-beat to the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie. Dance to the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie. Shake to the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie. Jump to the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie. Romp to the rhythm of the rock-a-beat and boogie.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, 1955 on Decca, and that was Eduardo's request for Rock a Beatin' Boogie. And interestingly, that was probably another case of a movie more popularized it, and that was the next year, 1956, an Alan Freed movie called, of course, Rock Around the Clock. And interesting, it was a fictional version of the rise of rock and roll. The Platters were in it, and Tony Martinez was in it, and there were other people in it, too. And it was like from January to March of 56, and it basically capitalized on Bill Haley's success with Rock Around the Clock. So that's what they did. But Freddie Bell and the Bellboys were in it. So yeah, I know, not exactly memorable, but Columbia Pictures, it was about 77 minutes long or 77 minutes too long, depending on how you looked at it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And that is going to take us, let's see, did I talk to Mike and Bridgeview? I can't even remember. Mike, are you still there? I guess I talked to Mike. I don't even remember. It's terrible. So it's not like I'm doing anything. All right, so I'm talking to Chris. Oh, he's awake. All right, Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. You woke up?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. Now you're awake and alert. What's on your mind?
I got two things that are on my mind. You know, WSBC 1330 out of Greenville.
Okay.
Are they considered like regional or class? I think they backed the Hawk Radio again.
Oh, that is that what they're doing now?
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know, and they've got the FBC FM as well. Are you talking about the 1330 AM? I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
That.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's I think that's a class 3 frequency, the old regional frequency, but I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that's a class 3, 1330. It's up there where there's a lot of class 4s around it, but I think it's a class 3. And so now, by the way, what they'd call it anymore, I don't know, but it was class 3, which meant regional, and you could wind up with a bit more power than those class 4s, which used to be 1,000 watt days, 250 watts night. But you've got, you got some daytimers on it, but you've got some decent signals on it as well. Some, 5,000 watt AM stations, so some directional, some not. So, yeah. Be a regional, class 3 regional.
Yeah, I remember, like, listening to WSB out of Atlanta, like, a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, they had one of them EAS alerts, and they aborted one of them. All I just heard was the National Weather Service in Peachtree City, and they cut it off, and they should put the EOM tones on it. I don't know if it was a mistake or something, but it was not.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I think that that 1330, I don't know if it's directional or not, but it's 5,000 watts. I think it might be non-directional day and directional night, if I remember. And aren't they simulcasting WORD now?
Yes, yeah, so, like back in the day, 1330 and 1450 here in Greenwood was the same network.
Right. Well, that 1450 is a classic class 4 station. 1,000 watt days, 250 watts night. Now you can have 1,000 watts around the clock. So, yes.
Yeah, because the guy that started like 1450, he was like obsessed with 1330, and it was too far for him to get. So he started 1450, and it was NBC Red Network.
Well, good a reason as any.
But it's different frequencies with the same network and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's usually the case with networks. Each individual station carrying it will be on a different frequency.
Yeah. And is 1030 is a class 4, too?
No, 1030. 1030 is a 1A clear. WBZ has it.
Uh-huh.
So
1230.
Yeah, 1230, is absolutely a class 4, a local station. Class, I'm pretty sure there's no doubt about that. Okay.
Yeah, the WAIM in Anderson has that frequency.
Yeah, although now we're 1230, might be regional. It could be regional because I'm trying to think of who had that. There's a little station actually here in Kingman, Arizona, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look up 1230, but I thought it was. Because 1240 is definitely a class 4 station, but what they used to call class 4. But, I guess I would say 1230 is as well, I guess.
Yeah, and I also found out, like, WGSW here in Greenwood, the now-defunct 1350, back in 66, they banned the Beatles.
A lot of people did.
Did WGN ban them?
No. But I don't know that WGN ever played them because it wasn't within the format that they were airing. When you're talking about banning the Beatles, the only stations where that would have been noteworthy is if they were top 40 radio stations, because if they were MOR stations, they weren't going to carry it anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because they were popular back then, and when the controversy happened about one of them, mm-hmm. they just pulled it away from them.
Well, there's, you know, there's always something being banned over the years, and whether it was the Kingsman's version of Louie Louie or on and on it goes, you know, so always a reason to ban something.
Yeah, but later in the long run, they'll play it again if different formats and different people.
Of course. Of course. Well,
it's not a permanent ban because you know the frequency will air one way or the other.
If it fits with the format, sure. You know, and times will change, ownership will change, management will change, format will change. So, you know, anything's up for grabs.
Uh-huh. And also, you know, some like old TV shows from the 80s that's like not seen in reruns like in decades.
What is not, tell me about that, because of course you've got all the nostalgia channels like, you know, Antenna TV or MyTV. What's not being seen that you'd like to see?
It's 9 to 5, the TV show that's based off the 1980 Dolly Parton movie.
Right. Well.
And the last time I saw 9 to 5, well, I was like in elementary school. It was on my Fox affiliate, WHNS, and it came on at 2 a.m. after Laverne and Shirley in 1993. That's the only time I saw it.
Well, it's interesting because 9 to 5 started out as an ABC show and then it went into syndication for a couple of years after that. It was like ABC.
Yeah, it went into syndication on the same month and year I was born, September 86 and 88.
I would think they would have enough episodes for that. So you're saying that it is not on the air syndicated by anybody anymore? Hmm.
No, not in years.
Okay.
Not even TV Land had it.
Okay.
And now it's not on DVD yet.
Oh.
But, you know, they show the movie a lot, but not the TV show. But I also have, like, you know, them old reels, like the movie reels.
Okay.
I got the pilot episode of the TV show 9 to 5 on movie reel, and I got that, like, back in 2003 on eBay.
Yeah.
And that's the only time I saw it. And even though it was on YouTube as well.
I think you've also got a problem with a show like that in that it was a ratings loser. It didn't do well. And I believe there were a number, not only the network changed, but there were a lot of cast changes and all of that. So it's probably just not licensed because there's not any interest in it. I don't know.
Yeah, because you know Dolly's sister, Rachel Dennison, was on the whole time.
Well, that may be, but still, you know, it's gotta have something going for it to be syndicated. They've got enough episodes, I'm sure. But I don't think that they ever amassed the kind of popularity that would make it attractive.
Yeah, or maybe the music licensing.
No, I doubt that's it. It could be, you know, it could be a factor, a minor factor.
Yeah, because I didn't know, like, all these cable networks over the years, like USA, Lifetime, or TBS. Yeah, TBS aired it back in the 80s, but all the other channels, I'm surprised they didn't pick up 9 to 5.
Well, as I say, if the show was not a hit, and I'm pretty sure that it was when it was canceled, it was like as low as you could go. So it's just, why would anyone pick it up, you know, as far as that goes?
Yeah, not even like Antenna TV or Rewind could pick it up as nowadays, or MeTV.
If it's not available for syndication, the network can't pick it up. So somebody has to be syndicating it, and nobody is.
Nobody is.
So.
And look at Punky Brewster. It's not been, last time it was on TV, it was on the Family Channel in the 90s, and it hasn't been rerun since.
Well, there's probably not any interest in it.
Yeah, like if I had a channel, I would pick them shows up.
Well, that may be, but you might be the only one watching it.
Yeah. And luckily, I got all the Punky Brewsters on DVD.
Yeah. Well, and that's fine. I think DVD is a perfect place for those kind of things because it's a specialty market, and then, you know, somebody like you can buy the DVDs and enjoy it. But I don't know that there's any mass appeal interest in it.
Yeah, because Punky Brewster was an NBC show, and then it was a first-run syndication show.
Fine. A lot of shows, that's the case. So anyway, that's the deal.
Like Mama's Family, Too Close for Comfort, and all of them that was on network, and then it moved to syndication.
Right, because the networks dropped them. And sometimes, of course, that heralded more success than they ever had on a network, such as a Hee-Haw or the Lawrence Welk Show. So that happens, too. But for the most part, the network decides that they're through with it for a variety of reasons. You know, the big purge when CBS got out of rural programming, if you will, hillbilly programming.
Remember that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That was before my time.
Yeah, well.
They got rid of all the...
They did, the overnight.
...oriented programming.
Yep, it was a change...
By Beverly Hillbillies, yes, Green Acres, and Mayberry RFD.
Change in philosophy, and as I say, Hee-Haw actually was a benefactor of that, because when they were canceled, they went into first-run syndication and did much better than they ever would have on a network.
Yep, and it did real well in syndication, and my local CBS affiliate, WSPA, had Hee-Haw for its entire syndication run.
Absolutely. You know, there are some where that have never been syndicated, like the older shows, and you wonder why. I don't have those answers. Like Red Skelton, I don't think was ever syndicated. And it might have been a clearance issue, you know, because they had a lot of interesting people on it or whatever. I don't know.
You remember Sanford and Son's revival Sanford from the 80s?
No, see, I don't remember any of this. I don't watch these things.
BET ran that only, and it hasn't been reran for years.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes down to what somebody's opinion of mass appeal interest is, whether somebody would want to syndicate it, and then whether a station would want to run it.
Yeah, but you know, you can't get enough of Friends and Big Bang Theory. They play that like crazy.
Well, and it has the audience for it. You know, I've never seen either of them, but it has the audience for it. And that's what it is ultimately. It's a numbers game. You know,
and also Small Wonder, that was another 80s show, forgotten show, with Tiffany Brissett played Vicky the child robot. That hasn't been seen in years.
Probably a good reason.
And it was a syndicated show. It wasn't a network show.
Yeah, probably a very good reason. It's a cult classic. I'm aware of Small Wonder, but it was really a cult classic more than anything that was ever mass appeal, even when it was on. So
and there's been a forgotten gem, but luckily I think YouTube have those episodes.
Oh, I'm sure, and YouTube has a number of things, and that's a great place to try and get some of it. Obviously, some of it doesn't last on YouTube very long if somebody's complaining about a rights issue. But assuming that it hasn't been pulled, there's a ton of things you can see on that. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I'm going to do my short film over the weekend.
Oh, good.
And I get to turn in by March 9th.
Good, good. And this is
for, and I also made the title of it.
Okay, now for people who don't know.
She Did It.
Yeah, She Did It. But
But it's about, like, you know, DID, like split personality. I'm trying to revolve it around.
Okay. And this is the film contest. Is this just local to the area?
Yeah, local, like high school, college, and open, like anywhere, like in the state if they want to register.
Okay, so anywhere in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And you get a phrase and you have to make, how long is the movie you make, 3 minutes or something?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay, you make a 5-minute movie, and they give you the sentence. And what was your sentence again?
I didn't know you knew her in that way.
Right. I didn't know you knew her in that way. All right.
Yeah, that's the tagline.
Well, all right. So you will come up with a 5-minute gem, no doubt.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I hope it be more. I hope it be a popular film and an enjoyable one.
Well, I hope you do well.
I hope to be on TV one day.
Well, you never know. I think it's great that you're doing it. Keep me posted. Hopefully you will be in the finalists.
Thank you.
All right, keep me posted.
I will definitely keep you up to date.
All right, appreciate it. Okay, so yeah, last year Chris sent us his. I thought his film was really nice. It didn't make it last year, but maybe this one will. I didn't know you knew her in that way. All right, so yeah, I don't know what some of the other phrases were. I assume not everybody has to use the same phrase, but yeah, and I don't know how you get it either, so maybe we'll talk about that next time. But we'll get to a Cleveland Dennis here in a moment from Elgin, and Kimberly and Dalton, all right, going on with that. So plenty of room for you two if you want to call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
A million to one, that's what our folks think. About this love of ours, a million to one, they say that our love will fade like yesterday's flowers. They're betting everything that our love won't survive.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Jimmy Charles and the Rebelettes, and on the promo label, and A Million to One, and that was Robert's request, and happy to play that. Promo records did not have a big roster, but Jimmy Charles was certainly a part of that. All right, so a big part of it. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. We got another hour, and we're going to have Kimberly and Dalton looking forward to that, and Cleveland Dennis, and some more of your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
Wait, do-wop, 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 whoop, whoop.
Do-wop, 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 whoop, whoop. Do-wop, 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 whoop, whoop. Do-wop, 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 whoop, whoop. Run, it's the man from moon. Wait, I looked out my window and watched to my surprise. I see a crazy spaceship. It fell right from the sky. So I looked out my window and much to my surprise.
Pretty baby, don't you understand?
Here comes a crazy little moon man. You better
run, son, it's the man from the moon.
You better
track, Jack, it's the man from the moon.
You better
blow, Joe, it's the man from the moon. You better run, it's the man from the moon.
Baby, don't you understand?
Here comes a crazy little moon, man. You better
run,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Chaperones, 1961, on Josie. Yeah, they were a group of five Italian guys. Tony Amato was the lead singer. They had been the Sharptones and the Fairlanes, and then they hit the Chaperones and kind of had a moon theme going on. They had an entire album, Cruise Back to the Moon. What can I tell you? In any event, that's not exactly the request that Cindy had, but when she mentioned the Man in the Moon, I said, oh man, I got to play the Chaperones. Hey, it could have been worse. I could have played the Del Capri. Different record, same title. But what Cindy is referring to is Helen Kane, Me and the Man in the Moon. And Helen Kane was, quite the lady back then. So maybe we'll play that as well. So, Cleveland Dennis, welcome back to WGN Radio. Let me find the magic twanger here and welcome you officially. What's up?
Yeah, hi. Now, I was listening yesterday and the day before pretty intently and had a couple notes. Finally got through to you now, but I liked that how you played Ruby Lee yesterday.
Yeah,
from The Voice.
Yeah,
and I found that quite intriguing.
What I found most intriguing was that nobody signed her.
Well, I don't know how. I don't know much about that business, but I guess that's surprising. But she didn't finish first. Is that why?
No, well, that a lot of people who didn't come in first got signed, but I think she came in second. But she did well. And of course, the other thing is that I don't know how many people who saw it or watched it or understood that that was originally an old Patsy Montana record from way back when.
Right. Yeah, I like how you mentioned that. I've heard that before, and can't hardly tell the difference. But no, it's just great that you play that stuff and expose your audience to it.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to make comments about some of the food places you talked about. Royal Castle, know it well from 25th in Detroit.
Yeah.
And downtown Cleveland back in my teenage years.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Arthur Treacher's.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be one here in the Chicago area over by the airport for a while. I think it's gone now, but I noticed that there's one in Cuyahoga Falls or Kent, Ohio still operating.
Really? So there are actually still Arthur Treacher locations? How about that?
Well, that's what it showed when I looked it up, but, you know, I'm not going to be ordering any DoorDash from them.
Well, yeah. I just looked it up while we're speaking, and you're right. Kind of Cleveland-centric. Cuyahoga Falls, Cleveland
right.
Heights. I'll be darned. How about that? And so I just mentioned apparently are the only three standalone locations remaining.
It's just interesting how they still function, and I just wonder if it's the same. But next trip to Cleveland, I'm going to look for it.
Yeah.
Anyhow, you know, you also talked about, was it Longhorn or Lone Star?
Yeah, Lone Star Steakhouse. And I know the graphic very well, and I did not realize that the only one left is in Guam. I mean, I was sure they were still around.
I thought there was one near me, and then they closed it. I can't remember for the life of me if it was a Lone Star or the Longhorn.
Right, and Longhorn was, of course, another chain, and that's still around. But, I mean, Lone Star, that was a very recognizable logo, and literally I would have sworn I saw them recently, and apparently I didn't.
Yeah, it's the old Mandela effect.
Well, exactly.
But, right. But really, you know, calling tonight because you were playing Bill Haley in the comments.
Uh-huh.
I was able to meet him once after a concert in Cleveland, like January 1969. Chuck Berry played there, the Shirelles. It was a real tour of sorts when they had so many groups, Gary U.S. Bonds. But after the show, they came down, Bill Haley did, and Gary U.S. Bonds, and I think there were a couple others. I can't recall who they were, but they came and talked to me and my sister and my girlfriend, Lori, at the time. And I was only 19 then, but it was so kind of impressionable to me that they came and we talked for like 5-10 minutes, whatever it was, and been a fan ever since. But the fact that one or two of your calls was praising your show, and there's nothing quite like it, Raleigh, the way you present it with all these. I never thought I would hear some of the songs that I've heard in the past and then they show up on your show. It's a knockout for me, so appreciate the high quality and the fact that you're around 3-4 days a week and with all your knowledge, and that's all I got.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Hope to talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, sometimes it's an embarrassment to me when I think to myself, the listeners have to tell me it's time to break for the news. Yeah, yeah. I've never been formatically adept, so to speak. And as I've mentioned, it was a Chicago gal who was the best formatically I've ever heard. She's probably still on the radio in the Chicago area. I don't know, but Catherine Johns. This woman, man, she was talking up the news hits as far as that goes. She would be right on it, and I thought to myself, man, that's a skill that I'm never going to have, but it was a joy to listen to. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Kimberly is in Dalton. Thanks for waiting, Kimberly. What's up tonight?
Hi, Raleigh. I had a couple things. One, my mom said to mention to Robert, because does he live in Evergreen Park or something? I don't know. Anyway, there's a Ken's Steakhouse in Beverly. He'll know Beverly if he lives in the area.
Okay.
And it's still a high class, like a white tablecloth, relish tray kind of restaurant.
Nice.
And if he says so, that might be a suggestion for him. I don't know what his budget is or what he's looking for, but that's a special place and with a long reputation.
Sounds good to me. Southern Italian dishes and steaks. I can go for that.
Good. And then the other thing is that Jimmy Charles sounds so much like Jimmy Scott. do you happen to have... My mom got serenaded by a young man that wanted to go out with her at a park one time when they were all swimming, and he sang When Did You Leave Heaven to her by Jimmy Scott.
Oh, wow. So, now, we're talking about, he was kind of a jazz vocalist, little Jimmy Scott.
Well, he was, if my history's right on what I read, Clint Eastwood presented him on his Jazz Showcase 2025.
Oh, really? Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was going to say, yeah.
He was all set with a big song. His reputation was growing, and they pulled it and gave it to Ray Charles.
Oh, man.
I read this one. I don't know.
Oh, man. How about that? But yeah, he was on Savoy. That's where he started. What a great label. And Decca, and later Tangerine, which was Ray Charles' label, and all that. And I think it was Lionel Hampton who named him Little Jimmy Scott. But yeah, and anything in particular you would like to hear by him?
Did You Leave Heaven?
Okay. All right, writing this down.
Okay,
writing this down so I won't forget it, because otherwise I would, you know that. All right. Reach heaven. Okay. You betcha.
Thank you, Raleigh.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling. Now, how's Christopher doing?
Oh, God, he's getting big. He's going to be 3 months old, and he was already 25, 27 pounds. He's a big boy.
Has he slept through a night?
Yes, he's sleeping more. I guess he sleeps like about 6 hours now.
Oh, man, so Elizabeth is getting back in her groove. She's surviving this.
But, because he's a big boy, he likes to eat a lot, so he's demanding through the day.
Ah, well, who could blame him?
But anyway, yeah, we're getting there. Hopefully we all get together one night.
Yeah, I'll look forward to it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. So, 888-876-5593. Obviously, if whatever's on your mind will be on mine, too, right here on WGN Radio.
When did you leave heaven? Why did they let you go? How's everything in heaven? I'd like to know. Where did you leave your halo?
sin. Will they miss you? Can you get back in? I'm only human, but you are
WG. And radio, I'm Raleigh James. There he is, Jimmy Scott. And it was interesting. He obviously had a very interesting voice. And sadly, it was due to Kallman syndrome, which was a genetic condition. And what was really strange about that was he was like 4 feet 11. And then when he was about 37 years old, he grew another 8 inches, became 5 feet seven after that. And unfortunately, with Kallman syndrome, the reason he had that high undeveloped voice was he never went through puberty. And so what maybe plagued him personally certainly gave the world an interesting singer. It was Lionel Hampton who hired him and billed him as Little Jimmy Scott, with Everybody Somebody's Fool. Yeah. And like that. And so he was around for quite a while. Born in Cleveland in 1925 and died in Las Vegas 2014. So about almost 12 years ago now. So yeah, Jimmy Scott. Hadn't thought about him in years. So hopefully Gene liked that. So 888-876-5593 takes us to Ken. And Ken is in Chicago. So welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I didn't get a chance to call last night. You're talking about pizza?
Uh-huh.
The best pizza is a frozen pizza. I don't know if you got it out there. It's called the Home Run Inn.
Really? Now, what makes it so spectacular?
I don't know. It's different than any of the other, the dough.
Okay.
The crust. The crust is different. It's called Home Run Inn. And there's one restaurant here in Chicago.
Okay.
And we have a lot of different pizza places. And somebody called in about Arby's. The Arby's, I live in Rogers Park, too.
Uh-huh.
They're gone. There were three of them. They're gone. I don't know where they're at, maybe out in the suburbs.
Interesting.
They were around a lot. They're gone, and I don't know why. The horsey sauce, remember that?
Oh, yeah, no, I absolutely do. I never cared much for their beef. I always thought it had a very unique flavor. But some of their other stuff, later they had this wonderful turkey and bacon sandwich that I liked a lot. But
I never tried that.
Yeah, I didn't know that they were, because they're still in plentiful supply near me.
Oh, are they? Yeah, they left here. We had three of them in Rogers Park. Somebody from Rogers Park called.
We had that.
And I have a request. I forget the name of the group. It's called Hey Pizza.
Hey Pizza. What?
Hey Pizza.
Hey Pizza. You're not talking about pizza pie, are you?
I think pizza pie, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, all right. That absolutely. That's a doo-wop special. So I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Norman Fox and the Rob Roy.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And also, I like you were talking about the singer that just died. Neil Sedaka.
Yes.
I always liked they hardly play it. The Immigrant.
Yeah, that was in the 70s period. And
they hardly ever played.
Right.
That.
Right. Very, very different from his, early 60s hits, but it was a hit.
Right.
And that's interesting.
And then he did one with his daughter later on.
I played one of those, actually. I like Your Precious Love by them.
This one was even later.
Okay.
This was I Should Have Never Let You Go.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Later, I could tell the daughter was a lot older.
Yeah, Daryl.
Also, I got one pizza joke.
Okay.
I ordered pizza one night, and here I'm waiting. I'm looking at my watch. It's 3-4 hours. So I call up the pizza place. I said, is my pizza going to be long? She said, no, it's going to be round.
Same as all of them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what I want to know, because Arby's now is part of Inspire Brands, and let's see if you have any of those. Do you have any Sonic Drive-Ins?
That's like right outside Chicago.
Okay, Jimmy. Like Jimmy
Walmart John's. Is that right outside Chicago? Okay. All those stuff.
Jimmy John's.
We have Jimmy John's. Yes.
Okay, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, we have that.
Okay, Baskin Robbins.
They left. Independence came in.
Okay. Well, interestingly, that's what Inspire Brands has. It's, you know, as usual, it's a vulture capitalist. It was Roark Capital Group that from Atlanta.
Arby's is all over, and they left Rogers Park a long time ago.
That's interesting. Well, you know, I guess they all kind of rise and fall. I remember when they first became really big in the latter 60s, Arby's was everywhere.
Yeah.
And there was a competing brand in South Florida called NEBA, and it stood for Never Eat Beef at Arby's. So
that I never heard.
Yeah, well, great. I don't think it got off the ground, but it had several South Florida locations.
So, oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But anyways,
well, you have
doing good here.
Good. All right. Well, you have ended the half hour. It is always good to hear from you. Call me again soon.
I will.
Okay. Thanks. You. Okay. Bye. And
bye-bye.
Pizza Pie is coming up next on WGN Radio.
Standing on the sidewalk, just admiring the view. And we thought that we would go downtown and find something to do. And we saw this place upon the corner, and it looked real swell. So we opened the door and we went inside. This is what we yell now, pizza. Hey, pizza. Got a chick I really dig. I'm gonna love her all of my life. I'm gonna take her home and marry her and keep her for my wife. And when the people come and ask me the question, I'm gonna tell them why. 'Cause she stands in the kitchen and makes me all those great big pizza pies. Now pizza.
Pie, yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, pizza.
Pie, yeah.
Well, the time went by and we had some kids, and they're the apple of my eye. And they're growing big and strong and tall, and their heads right up to the sky. Now some may wonder why they're so healthy, this is my reply. 'Cause they've been born and bred and always fed on great big pizza pies. Now pizza.
Pie, yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, pizza.
Pie, yeah.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's become a classic, 1959 on Capitol. It was actually a B-side, but it's been the sustaining Rob Roy's record. That's right, Norman Fox and the Rob Roy's. They were a mixed-race group from the Bronx, and they had several records, but for most people, you couldn't name anything except Pizza Pie, which is kind of sad all the way around. Originally, it was the B-side to Dream Girl. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Scott is in Oak Lawn. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Good evening. Good morning. Gentleman from Evergreen Park called in. He's talking about a couple places that are still in Evergreen Park. One of is Wolf's Bakery.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I'm like a mile away from that. That's how close Oak Lawn is to that.
Yeah.
And it is outstanding bakery goods. Something that I miss is all the buffets that went away with COVID.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And of all types, you're right. And they really started in popularity in the 60s when they were first calling them a smorgasbords. And then they kind of spread to every venue, especially Chinese restaurants. But now there's less of them. You're right. People did not bring them back.
Still quite a few Chinese buffets.
Yep. And Mongolian barbecue.
What really kicks me is, I have 7 casinos within a 40-minute ride of my house.
Oh,
and
I'll
not
bet.
One of them's got a buffet anymore. They used to all have buffets.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, best I could figure is I said, we can put more slot machines here and get rid of the food.
isn't that interesting? Because traditionally, when you heard the word casino, you thought, oh, man, cheap food. This is good. Let's go. And
well, yeah, cheap food, then go gamble some. And,
yeah.
Seven casinos, not one. I've called around for Thanksgiving, and not one of them had a buffet anymore.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about Las Vegas, too. Las Vegas used to be, my God, you practically ate for free. You could drink for free as long as you were by a slot machine or at a card table. And now it's pricey, not to mention you have to pay for parking, which is outrageous.
I was told there's only two buffets left in Vegas.
I'm not surprised. Where are they?
Oh, I don't know. I can't go to Vegas. I have enough of a gambling problem around here.
Oh, geez. yeah, well, obviously Las Vegas has big gambling problems, not enough doing it. I think the Wynn had a buffet, and as far as that goes, I don't know about the MGM Grand or the Bacchanal, but I think the Wynn had one.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
We used to have a franchise buffet around here called the Old Country.
Oh, sure.
Old Country Buffet. And me and the wife would go there, you know, at least a couple times a year. And they had a spinoff, you know, a sister company owned by the same people. It was called Ryan's.
Yes.
And I was talking about a buddy. I said, remember about 30 years ago we went to Ryan's? He was way down in the boonies in the south. And it's a half-hour ride to get to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, that was good. We're just, I miss them. I mean, I've lost some weight since, but I miss the heck out of buffets.
Well, and it's interesting on Old Country Buffet because, you know, it went defunct, I think, in like 2021. They kind of blamed COVID-21. But the other thing is, like so many of these brands, they later are acquired by vulture capitalists and all that. And then if the dollars just don't work, there's no emotion in closing them. But I remember when they were closing Old Country, they were, you know, slamming mismanagement, quality control, foodborne illness. I never heard any of that at any of them, but that's what they were talking about, and it was owned with another restaurant. And I'm trying to think, Ryan's maybe? I think it was Ryan's.
That's what I said. Yeah, Ryan's was a spinoff from Old Country.
It was. That's right. It was owned with them. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And
the only thing we have around now is Golden Corral, and that
right.
is like the pits of buffets.
Yeah, there's a lot of those still left, though. I'll tell you.
Well, that's all I have. As Forrest Gump would say, that's all I have to say about that.
Well, sounds good to me. Thank you for calling. Do it again.
Thank you for listening.
All
have
right.
a good day.
So I think it's time for another pizza record, actually, you know, after playing Pizza Pie. Philly Cuz, who is a local Philadelphia act, Summer Kids from Ireland, I play from time to time. But on his football album, yeah, he did one, he had I Love the Pizza. So, yeah, you'll hear it next on WGN Radio.
I love the pizza. I love the pizza. Police said to Pete, must be time to eat, 'cause I can hear a gurgle sound down in the bottom of my belly calling food. Not any kind of food, I need a pizza in a hurry, 'cause I'm in a pizza mood. I love the pizza, I love pizza, I love the pizza, I love the pizza, I love the pizza, I love the pizza,
I want a pizza pie,
I love the pizza.
Pizza pie.
Holly called the press at the pizza place, said please deliver one big plane and make the other pepperoni pie for Pete. And mushrooms would be neat. We need some pizza in the tummy, 'cause that's what we want to eat. I love the pizza, I love the pizza, I love the pizza, I love the pizza,
I love
the pizza, I love the pizza,
I want a pizza pie,
I love the pizza.
Hurry, hurry up, Mr. Delivery Guy, I can hardly wait to taste the gooey piece of my pizza pie.
Holly waited long, he arrived
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, Philly Cuz. And Philly Cuz is actually Philip Italia, and self-published 2005 from the CD Football Party Album. I love the pizza. So there you have that. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. I am very pleased tonight that I've been quite nauseous. Otherwise, all this talk of pizza would have made me very hungry. And this is one time that I'm not. So, hey, finally, I'm grateful for nausea. Who would have thought it? All right, so 888-876-5593. Anything. I mean, and as I mentioned, Engineer Bob comes up with all sorts of offbeat links, including offbeat anatomy. 15 oddities about your body you might not know. All right, for instance, did you know you're taller when you wake up? All right, not just your imagination, just as weight is not the same throughout the day, neither is height. During the night, you sleep horizontally, we hope. The soft cartilage between the bones gets a chance to decompress. The temporary relief from gravity leads to a slight increase in height by morning. Enjoy it while you can, because it's downhill very quickly. As the day progresses and we stand upright and carry out daily activities, gravity compresses everything back to where it was. And if you're like most Americans, you're slouching as well. Yeah, and probably all over the world. And part of that is you know, our digital society. We're all looking down at a phone or something like that. And so our bodies take note of that. Your nose has an amazing memory. Yeah, armed with over 400 receptors for scent. And so you can identify millions of different odors. But believe me, a lot of animals have it all over you. But nonetheless, it is interesting that the average human nose can distinguish and remember up to 50,000 different smells. All right. Yeah. Of course, we haven't quite mastered the ability to forget about the ones we didn't like. And then again, COVID wiped it out for many. I was early on that. It was a virus in 1986, January of 86. I got some ridiculous flu. And I do remember I lost my sense of smell. And, you know, it was like a month or so after that I realized, you know, because, you know, you're sick and you don't care. And then I realized, I'm not smelling anything. It never came back. And what was really interesting to me about that was the medical establishment could care two whits. They just didn't give a damn, period, about it. And in fact, I had one doctor say, believe me, you don't want it back because you'll start to smell odd things. And whether I want it back or not, I didn't get it. But apparently, so it's not just COVID. It can be a lot of things, and a lot of virulent viruses will do that to you. So, yeah. Dehydration leads to back pain. I thought that was interesting. I know it leads to headaches. Absolutely. But did you know it leads to back pain because the core of your spinal discs are primarily composed of water? Yeah, the little discs between the vertebrae are like sponges, and the water makes them plumpy and healthy. So as long as you're properly hydrated, the discs will absorb shock and protect the spine better. Yeah. One lung is bigger than the other. That you probably know that. I think it's true with kidneys and everything else that we've got two of as well. Newborns don't shed tears. God knows they cry, but they don't shed tears because they physically can't. Tear ducts, well, at least the ones responsible for crying, are still in the developing stage in newborns, and it's not until they reach full maturity that babies are able to let tears fall, regardless of how loud they can get. Those lungs are so well-developed. By the way, if you're wondering, that takes up to a month, sometimes longer. So if you see a crying baby with dry eyes, don't worry, he's not faking it, just waiting for the teardrops to catch up. Your blood vessels are extremely long if you're an adult. It's an elaborate cobweb that absolutely has nothing on the circulatory system. The intricate network of blood vessels within the human body is, if we laid out all our blood vessels end to end, it would span a distance of 60,000 miles. And I think, man, that's a lot of parts to go wrong, in case you can't quite picture it. It's long enough to wrap around the Earth's equator not once, not twice, but four times over in every person? Yeah. And we wonder why stuff goes wrong with us. And so they're weaving their way through our body, carrying, you know, oxygen and nutrients and all that kind of stuff. Nose and ears never stop growing. I've noticed that on some people, especially ears. Yeah, where you look at it and say, wait a minute. Well, growth is not just reserved for childhood. Overall growth ceases in adulthood. Certain body parts continue to exhibit growth. Nose and ears have a mind of their own in many people. Actually, it's not growth. It's the work of gravity. Yeah, because ears and noses are made of cartilage, which is flexible. And as you age, it may seem like they never stop growing, but just absolutely they're drooping. Gravity is causing that cartilage to sag, stretch out, making them look longer. Man, some of those ears, they are sight to behold. Earwax is a type of sweat. Yeah, well, we won't even embellish that. Tongues have a unique print, just like fingerprints. Of course, you know, most of us don't go putting our tongues on anything that the police would want to investigate. But nonetheless, each person's tongue boasts a unique and distinct pattern. Just as there are no two fingerprints, neither are there two tongues. And that's a combination of taste buds and other tonguey things that contribute to the individuality of our, yeah, tonguey things. That's a scientific word, of course. Tongue prints are often used in forensic investigations for identification purposes, they say. Yeah, I don't even want to think about what kind of crime that was. And as it turns out, color and shape are also unique features of each individual, making the tongue a key tool for identification. Yeah. And humans and sharks' teeth are equally strong. Now, I find that utterly alarming because, well, it depends on your teeth, I guess. I was talking with engineer Adam the other day. He had to lose two teeth, and some others are going, too. And the first thing is, I bet you're of UK ancestry somewhere, because it sure seems that the British, the Irish, weak teeth. I'm not 100%. I have one friend who, that's his genealogy, and he's married to a woman from the Mideast who's never had a cavity. You know, it's just like, what? So a lot of it is genetic, of course, but overall human teeth are stronger than you think. They say they're incredibly durable. I don't know. Have you ever had a fight with a bottle cap? Strength, they say, comparable to that of a shark. And so scientific studies show that when comparing the microstructure of both, our teeth are no weaker than that of sharks. We don't use them in the same way, I hope, back to crimes again. And it all comes back to one single element, enamel. And dense enamel covering the tooth surface serves as a protective barrier against wear and tear. I don't know. You know, again, I guess most of us Americans must have some British ancestry there, because as far as that, the older you get, man, I've seen some interesting teeth. But equally strong does not mean equally sharp. You will not be able to slice through your prey like a shark, in case you wanted to. But you will at least win the battle over an apple. Blood takes up a part of our body weight. I don't even know why that's here. Of course it does. How could it not? You know, well, what part? 8% of the body weight. That seems reasonable. Now, this one, yeah. Monovision, or not vision, actually. But we use one nostril at a time. I have never noticed this, but typically the average person breathes through only one nostril at a time. No. And I've been sitting here while I'm talking, trying to breathe in at the same time. And well, it's completely normal, they say, due to a congestion pattern that switches every couple of hours. One nostril becomes congested, making it a bit harder for airflow, while the other one becomes decongested. No. And now, of course, I'm going to try to be very well aware of this. I'll report back. And it's the nasal cycle ensures optimal filtration, humidification, and warming of inhaled air. Huh. Blinking is a reflex? Oh, yeah. Anybody who spends time at the retinologist knows this. So that's right. Yeah, that bright light, you betcha blinking is a reflex. Most of the time, blinking is involuntary. It's a reflex of the cornea. You don't even notice you do it. And on average, you blink around 20 times per minute. And they say a reflex is not a habit. It's essential to keep our eyes healthy. Although, they also say blinking is a defense mechanism. And it is, as far as that goes, when things get too close to the eye. But it also, in some cases, has a psychological contribution factor, contributing factor, because maybe you've known people like this, but I worked for one once. And man, I always knew when this guy was upset, because he would blink at what seemed like faster than the speed of light. It was like, I know what's coming when blinky starts. And so I'm positive that that's some type of a psychological tie. Our brain is highly active when we sleep. Yeah, I don't doubt it for a minute. And of course, I listen to all the stuff on YouTube to try and fall asleep. And I'll tell you what, there's a growing group of people who think we're going elsewhere when we sleep. Meantime, I'll try that tonight and get back to you on that. But I think it might be time to say sayonara. I'm not sure. In case it is, I know it's time to do this, but in case it is, I'll just in advance say thanks for listening. That's a wrap. And 2020 News will be on the replay of the stream. And we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. We'll reconvene on Monday night. Tell you more about that online so you can visit Raleigh.net. And until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Transit Temper Tragedy, plus Wax Nell Silverhammer and Bombo Italiano. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Bronx Platform Bloodbath. Man shot dead on a Bronx subway platform after a heated argument escalated into gunfire, police say. The victim struck in the thigh and groin just before 3 p.m., later dying at a nearby hospital. Witnesses told officers the dispute spilled from the train to the station where shots rang out and a suspect fled into a nearby building. NYPD detectives combed the neighborhood and reviewing surveillance as the city asks, when did a ride home become a killing field? Crime scenes on the rails are supposed to be rare, but this one's rolling into rush hour headlines like a runaway train. The Crying Game. The fool on the thrill makes a pathetic plaintiff police body cam confession as cops collar this clown in England. The nitwit Brit starts crying, not about his murdered girlfriend, but about his arrest for the brutal blunt force beating, because, get this, it'll mean he'll miss the release of Grand Theft Auto 6 this fall. Clueless Screw Loose has just been sentenced to life in the pokey, as he's so baloney he could cry's only hope now is to whine at the warden to let him watch GTA. Good grief, baddie's a tool to cry. Volari. Disperse Italian style. Bang bang boom boom big bucks blow out as an armored car goes kooplooey in the middle of a highway in the heel of the boot. At least 8 guys in masks crashed the cash and carry caravan and blew the doors off the loot scoot. The Italian jobs mob seemed to get a fistful of dollars, but the law grabbed a couple of the crooks before they could scram. Half a dozen highwaymen on the loose, as this kind of chuching of ours is not uncommon in this part of La Dolce Chita. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.